Columbus Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Time to time, we talk with Northwest Indiana activist Ruth Needleman about some of the issues here in the region. And she's back with us again today to bring us up to date on some things since our last conversation. Ruth, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I wish I had good news to report.
Well, we all wish we had good news to report. I know there's a lot more bad than good, it seems, anymore.
My first item, which I just found out about, really concerns everybody.
Okay.
And that is that Indiana is now one of only 7 states in the whole country that will not allow you to vote absentee because of the pandemic. In other words, when you apply for an absentee ballot, you have to explain why. Now, I'm old enough, I can just say, too old to go.
Yeah.
But for most people, the reason for not going to the polls is the coronavirus. And in Indiana, you cannot use that as a reason.
Yeah, I know that that Brandon Smith put out a piece that we had on our newscast earlier today talking about the, 11 reasons that are listed that you can vote absentee. And there is the question about illness is one of them, but there is the question about whether the coronavirus is classified as such. And I know there are some cases that are still going through the courts about that. So that's kind of mucked things up for now.
Well, I got this from our state senator, Eddie Melton.
Yeah.
And I did write him and say, please send me a petition and I will take it around, because all of us should be concerned that's not automatically one of the best reasons for not going to the polls. And there's only 6 other states that have that limitation.
And we'll just have to wait and see if any of these decisions coming from the courts happen soon enough before the November election to be able to make any changes. It's hard to say right now, I know. So
right.
We just have
so
to...
That was just the most current thing. But there's a real kind of low-level battle going on in Gary right now.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many years, beginning with the Northwest Indiana Federation of Interfaith Organizations, different groups of people have been fighting for something called a community benefits agreement. They exist all over the country in cities, regions, counties. And basically, it says that if a developer is coming in to build, the city should benefit. People in the city should get a benefit. And we finally got it passed in December of 2019 as an ordinance. And what it would require is pretty simple. One, if you're going to develop in the city of Gary and you are getting public monies, then you need to do a couple things. One is hire some people who live here. Because I think you know this because I've said it many times, the IUN expansion, the airport, all these the stadium things that were built here were built without people from Gary, which means that the money flows into the pockets of people who leave Gary and never spend it here. So in the long run, it's a very minimal benefit. So we got an airport expansion, but only 4% of the labor that was done during that entire time was done by people who live in Gary. And so we got an airport expansion that now includes deportations. But even that doesn't create jobs because the people come from Illinois, the county sheriff from Illinois bring them here, and the customs office that was finally opened to deal with both cargo and people, those people come once a week from Chicago. So the community benefits ordinance says you have to invest in Gary. That means hiring some people from Gary. And it also means setting aside money for training people in Gary to qualify for the jobs. The other thing is it says the immediate community affected by the development should get a benefit. So a tiny percentage of what public monies go to the developer should be used, paid by the developer, to do a small project that the community wants. For example, fix up a playground, fix up a park, do some paving. It's a pretty minimal amount, but it means that the community gets something back. And the other thing that the ordinance says is that people should be paid a living wage, which in the area of Lake County is calculated as $15.50. Now, this new project going up in Gary called Broadway Lofts, nobody told them about the ordinance, and therefore they claim they shouldn't have to abide by it. But that's ridiculous. And they also claim that because they're building 38 units for young professionals, probably geared towards people in Chicago, they have their own fitness center, their own bike and car share. That should be benefit enough. Of course, none of that benefits the actual community around 7th and Broadway. So the mayor doesn't like community benefits agreements because he thinks we should take anything we can get. But the ordinance was passed overwhelmingly by the city council in December. But what has happened is a new member of the city council, Gloria Slay, has developed an amendment to the ordinance that basically erases every single benefit outlined. First, he says it shouldn't even kick in unless the developer gets over $1 million of public money. When is Gary ever going to give anybody over $1 million of public money? Secondly, it says the community should be defined by 400 feet from the development. That's like one house in every direction. That's not the community. They also, well, Representative Lay also attacked the coalition that's been working on this for the last 10, 15 years. But other council members said, look, this is a group of citizens giving their own time to improve the city, and all you're doing is attacking them? But anyhow, we've had a series of meetings with the planning committee, with city council members. We have another meeting coming up tonight with any city council member that wants to know who we are and why the amendment is terrible. And then it will come up in a week at the city council. So we would like people to look into this and to let their city council representatives know that Gary deserves to benefit. Now, one of the most common arguments against it is, oh, if you put up roadblocks, nobody will come. However, every other city puts up regulations. This is not, you know, we're not gouging a developer. We're asking for less than 1% of the money given to them from our public taxes to come back into the community and for them to be a good citizen in the development. Actually, high, like Broadway Loft said, that they're not going union, which means they probably plan to pay horrible wages to less than qualified people to build this new building at 7th and Broadway. We want good behavior, not marauders coming into the city. So this is important because Gary has been literally depleted of its resources by a lot of outsiders who just want to make money. And there are voices within the city that say, oh, we got to take anything we can get. But some of the stuff we get is worse than nothing. So anyhow, this battle is very important. And so I want to call attention to it so that people all over Gary understand and look into it. The city council meetings are Zoom, so you can actually attend without leaving your sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also write questions. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that people have, obviously. I know I drive around Gary all the time. There's a lot of road construction. Try to count the number of black workers. You don't need a hand. You don't even need more than your thumb because people from here are not being hired. If people from here don't get jobs and income, they can't spend it. People who don't live here take the money and leave. And what we need is a resurgence of investment in Gary and its people. So that's the big thing on my agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I have one announcement and then some good suggestions on films to watch.
All right. Yeah, you mentioned that last time we talked that we just kind of ran out of time, but we did want to bring it in here. So, okay, I'll let you get to the announcement.
I'll be real quick. I just want you to go. Black Lives Matter always celebrates what's called Black August because so many activists and leaders of the black movement have been killed or died in that month. Now, on the 22nd of August, they are planning a Zoom meeting, but they haven't worked it out. So all you have to do on Facebook or any other social media is go to at BLM Gary, and you can get the details. Now, for your enjoyment. First, I want to talk about music lovers, because they're, you know, times like this, we need good music for the soul. And Netflix has done a whole series of documentaries on jazz musicians. So you can watch a wonderful documentary on Miles Davis, another one called Quincy, and then a very interesting one called The Black Godfather, which is about someone I never heard of who literally opened the door to all these black music performers to get into the industry. My favorite, however, is called The Two Killings of Sam Cooke. I love Sam Cooke. And I remember when he was killed, they made it sound like it was a prostitute or a barroom brawl, and I thought, that can't be. This guy was a gospel singer. This is not Sam Cooke. Well, it turns out it's not. And this is an incredible story with lots of music about how Sam Cooke met his end. And I'll just mention one tip.
Okay.
And that is that he was really good friends with Malcolm X, something I never knew. The other music video is called Rumble, and it's wonderful. And it's about the incredibly powerful indigenous roots in rock and roll. Jimi Hendrix was indigenous. I didn't know that either. And so it's a wonderful story of how many Native Americans contributed to the development of rock and roll. And then lastly, on Netflix, there's a new documentary. These are all documentaries, but this documentary is called Immigration Nation. And it was filmed by someone who was allowed inside of ICE and was able to interview ICE officers, able to interview people in prison or detention camps, even able to interview children who had been torn from their parents. It is a fabulous documentary. All of these are on Netflix. I'm not doing an advertisement, mind you.
It just turns out that they happen to all be on Netflix, because that's what I know most people tend to watch, you know, that and Hulu. So.
Well, and it's usually free, whereas, yeah. You know, places like Amazon charge you money to watch something. Mm. Like they don't have enough already.
Well, it's interesting to know that so many of these are, like you say, they're on Netflix, and so they're easy to watch, and won't cost you anything. And these are interesting to fit in as well, too, since these are the summer months, and you think about all these other films in the past that have come out with summer in the title. A lot of them have been related to jazz and other related music genres as well, so it'll be nice to fit that in with it, too. So it sounds interesting to check it out.
I've loved these. Yeah. I've watched others as well, but these were my favorite.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to put those on the note, and we'll have to check them out ourselves, too. Thank you for that. Well, Ruth, thank you very much for spending time with us with the update here, especially on the community benefits agreement.
Yes.
And what will come up at this meeting today, at least a chance for people to learn more about, if they're not aware of the project, about the agreement itself, rather, and all the projects that could affect it. They should need me to find that out, especially if they are really concerned about making sure that the city of Gary's economics will grow instead of wither more than it already unfortunately has. So,
that's right.
Thanks for being
Absolutely.
With us today, Ruth. We appreciate it, and we'll have you back on again soon.
Okay. You have a good week.
Thank you. You too. That's Northwest Indiana activist Ruth Needleman. You're listening to Regionally Speaking here on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. People have been buying and selling homes during this pandemic. And how difficult has it been? Well, apparently the latest numbers are out, and we'll find out how things have at least gone into the summer months. We have Craig Friendling. He is a realtor with Advanced Real Estate LLC in Schererville, and he is the current board president of the Greater Northwest Indiana Board of Realtors. And Craig, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, Chris. Well,
bring us up to date here on some of the latest numbers as we're going into the summer months. I know in the least most recent report that the association's put out was in the month of July. How have home sales been going, and not only sales, but also the median selling price for those homes?
Well, it's interesting. Our inventory is down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Over last year. But the median sales price has actually went up quite a bit. It's about 6% from May of 2020, even to just June of 2020. So it's been quite a big raise. In Lake County, anyway.
What do we notice here in some of the surrounding counties as well, Porter and LaPorte counties in particular? And we know that, of course, it includes Stark and other counties as well within the association.
Porter's still pretty high, but it's down a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's up kind of, I would say, more. It's up over last year, but it went down just a little bit over the last 2 months, which is, I haven't figured out why yet, but that's where the numbers show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, LaPorte County is pretty even. Jasper County is actually up. Newton County is up quite a bit also. So that's interesting.
I know the question does come up. Certainly, we are all dealing with the pandemic. We're dealing with, the stay-at-home orders, which kind of put a lockdown on everything, as we know, and things were loosened up eventually to the point that I guess there's some activity out there. But the question, I see if we can get an answer to, if you have one, is can one either sell a home or buy a home when you have a pandemic situation as we have been having right now?
I'll tell you what, Chris, that is the weirdest thing and maybe the hardest part right now, because I've got great sellers right now. They live in DeMont. They need to move to Hammond to get closer to work.
Right.
And we've sold their house. We've had it under contract. We've had, for one reason or another, like a deal had fallen through, and they can't find a house, you know, to move into. So they've had to, you know, basically jump on things as soon as they hit the market. They're going out looking at things. They're fighting multiple offers, and it's tough. So that is probably the hardest. If someone has to move right now, it really is. That is a definite challenge.
Has it been that way pretty much for everybody? Talking with your colleagues, not only there in your agency, but also with other realtors in the association.
Oh yeah, all realtors. I mean, most of us are all dealing with multiple offers.
Yeah.
You know, properties are going on the market for days, not months, like it used to be. It's definitely a challenge.
When the procedure usually is that, you know, you do have some time delay typically between the time that you may be interested in buying a home and looking and finally finding one out there, making an offer, as you say, going through the multiple other counter offers that are out there as well before you finally get word to, well, these folks are happy to sell and you're the lucky people to buy the house. How long has it been typically taking to get from one end of the process to the other, to the point that you can either move out of the place that you're in now, or if it happens to be a vacant house that you can move into, to get that move underway?
Yeah, and that is weird too. A lot of the houses I've been showing recently, I've noticed many of them are vacant. One thing I know is investors have been remodeling their own inventory, like old rentals that they've had and things like that, and they are then selling them because the prices are so great.
Yeah.
I would say that time period you're talking about, it's hit or miss, because sometimes these buyers they're going out looking, they're finding there used to be, let's say, 20 houses in someone's price range for sale. Now there's three. So they're going out there, they find the one that they like, and then they make that offer, and that process does happen kind of quick. And then you have, you know, people like my other sellers that I mentioned earlier, and they've been looking for, you know, they took a break looking when a deal had fallen through on their house, but then when they got it under contract again, it's like a whirlwind. They're out looking every single day. They're fighting multiple offers. And it causes a lot of stress and anxiety for the client, you know, and even for the agent too, because it's easy. But when you don't have that extra time in the middle of showings or in the middle of something else, you know, you can forget stuff. You can, you know, it can be a problem.
Yeah. I have heard about the concept of putting up a home for sale and using a virtual tour, and I'm sure you have heard about that too. Maybe you actually have known some folks that have been able to take advantage of that. What is a virtual tour all about, and how advantageous might it be during the pandemic, which we're facing right now?
Well, sometimes that's the only option we have. I mean, we've had clients that have health challenges and things like that where they're more susceptible to the virus, so they're doing virtual showings. So the agent kind of walks you with their phone and really almost like if you were FaceTiming or Google Meet or one of those things, you know, walking through the house. I think virtual tours are becoming more and more common, even in just, you know, marketing for the multiple listing service. You can post it on one of the, you know, websites that host video and stuff like that, and then people can virtually just walk through the house without even going there. I think it's still a little much of a challenge to buy a house without walking through it, but you can probably disqualify houses, say, okay, no, this one doesn't work for us, and then they can take it off the list, so you can only look at the ones that really, truly work for you.
Yeah. I suppose, because it does cause problems, you have to get an inspector to take a look at a place, too, to make sure. Like you say, you can only do so much on video with the telephone, and even if you have more sophisticated video techniques, you still can only do so much on a video, then you still actually have to get in, or somebody has to actually get into the house and make sure that it is not only safe, but all the things that have been done, like they say, that have been done, and everything to make sure that it's a proper sale, I suppose.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I definitely recommend, you know, the inspection, to me, is the most valuable part. I mean, you really should get one inspected. You mm-hmm. know, there's always something with even brand new houses. There's always something that, you know, they'll catch, which is usually good. And not necessarily that it needs to be fixed, but just so you know.
We're talking with Craig Friendling. He is a realtor in Schererville with Advanced Real Estate LLC, and he is also the current board president of the Greater Northwest Indiana Association of Realtors. And we've talked about the opportunities and the disabilities and liabilities trying to sell a house or buy a house during a pandemic. Let's talk about the move. Can one actually make a move these days with the coronavirus still prevalent?
Yeah, there's still a lot of moves that happen every single day. And that's, you know, movers are busy right now. The, you know, unit counts are still climbing and things like that. And I think as things kind of settle down a little bit, I think inventory is going to open up a little bit more, and I do think people are going to be able to move more frequently. Mm-hmm.
Do we get still help from the moving companies that are out there, not having to rely so much on self-moving U-Hauls and the like, to get out there? Are they helping out more during the pandemic? So try to make it a little easier. It's always a stressful situation to move anyway, whether you have good weather, bad weather, whether you have a pandemic crisis underway or not.
Yeah. That's true. And I actually build my moving expenses into the cost, because I think that's just the best way to keep your friends to pay someone else to move your stuff.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you don't want to go to the, just don't tell anybody that you have a pickup truck. I know that's the joke, but sometimes there's a lot of truth behind that joke, I know, to be sure. In closing here, Craig, is there any advice that we've given some already, I know, to people that are interested in putting a home up for sale, or they're out there looking? Any general advice that's especially true during the pandemic right now?
Yeah, I would definitely say call your friendly realtor and, you know, have them come out and evaluate the house. Houses are selling so quickly right now. And you might, if you're thinking about a move, you might want to start looking at wherever you're going to move to and start getting used to what the inventory looks like in that side, too.
Now, have you had a chance to talk with your colleagues and fellow realtors about what you think? It may be a bit too early because we're not even to the last half of the year yet, but how the rest of 2020 might shape up and going into the next year?
Gosh, I wish I could. This has been such a strange year. But it does seem like the real estate market is moving right along, so I do think that it's going to continue to get better. And I think ultimately things are going to be great, and sales prices are climbing kind of high, like quickly. So that's good, too.
Craig Friendling is a realtor who is the current board president for the Greater Northwest Indiana Association of Realtors. And Craig, thank you for joining us with your information, not only how the home sales and the median selling prices in Northwest Indiana have been going, and a look ahead to the future. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. The organization called Positive Vibes Only has a very special event coming up here in the middle of August to talk about in the city of East Chicago. And to find out more about it, we have with us the musician and songwriter and creator of Positive Vibes Only, R.J. Griffith. And R.J., thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me. I'm blessed to be here.
Well, for folks that are not familiar, first off, with what Positive Vibes Only is all about, tell us about it, please.
Yes, Positive Vibes Only, we're a 501c3 organization, and we just love to just entertain, teach kids about how to hone their crafts and their gifts in front of audiences, you know, in a judgment-free zone. We usually have an open mic once a month, mm-hmm. but due to COVID-19, we haven't been able to do any of that. So we are just trying to be able to still be creative and have an event for the community and give back to the community.
Well, certainly in this case, we have with school about to begin again in East Chicago and the area, that here's an opportunity, I guess, coming up to help youngsters out that need the help, especially if they don't have all their school supplies together. Tell us about the idea behind which is, I guess, now the second annual Good Day Drive-Through Book Bag Giveaway.
Yes. So last year, I wanted to have a book bag drive to give away things to the community, because I just love to see the smiles on kids' faces when they're getting something, especially for free. Mm-hmm. And last year we were able to have a bouncy house. We had free food. We had music going, and they could sing a song for karaoke. We had just different things going on, play basketball, and just great positivity and positive vibes just going all throughout the event. And this year, I was like, we need to do it again, because this world is so down and depressed with everything that's going on. So I say, you know what? Despite everything, we're still going to have our second annual Good Day Book Bag Drive, but we're just going to do it pertaining to the CDC laws. So I was like, we're just going to make it drive-through style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're giving away book bags still. People have to wear masks, of course. We're giving away free boxes of food and PPE supplies. And I just want to shout out our partnership with the Jones Foundation, the Larger Than Life Foundation, Blueprint Foods, Southland Voice, and the Illinois Partners in Hope. And they have been a huge help and support of us being able to give away 1,500 boxes of food.
Wow.
And PPE supplies.
Well, that's great. So, yeah,
yes.
This event is going to happen on Saturday, August 15th. It's going to begin at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it'll run till 2 p.m., and it's going to be at the East Chicago Church, which is at 4423 Olcott Avenue. That's in East Chicago. And if you're not familiar with the neighborhood, you can go, of course, online and Google it and check out the maps to find out where it is. Tell us how the setup is going to be, RJ, for folks that come by to the church parking lot and come into to be able to be in line to be able to pick things up.
Yes. So what we're going to do is everyone is going to be, like I said, drive-through style. We're going to have multiple people out there. We're going to give you a box of food. And if it depends on how many children are in the car, if that's how many book bags you will get. Mm-hmm. If there are not any children present, you will only receive one book bag per car, because we're still trying to be fair to everyone who comes out to get their book bags and their boxes of food. Boxes of food are, I'm not going to say endless, but 1,500 boxes of food is a lot. So there's enough to go around for everyone, and you're getting PPE supplies. So for anyone who's running out of mask or hand sanitizer, we have you and your child covered. So just come on out. We're going to make sure everything flows smoothly. We're just, this is our first time doing this. So, you know, traffic is a little backed up. We do apologize early, but it's going to be great. We just want to say hello, love on you. We can't touch you, but we can wave at you. So
well,
come on out.
Well, and you think about it, too, the idea behind Positive Vibes Only, it has a lot to do with music, as you do personally. I'm assuming that there'll be lots of music played at the site, and people at least get a chance to have some entertainment as they drive through.
Yes, there'll definitely be music playing. Either I'll be DJing, or I may have a local radio DJ who offered his services to come and DJ. So it's definitely going to be music playing. And, yes, I wish I could perform for you all, but, you know, it's drive-through style. So I would love for you all to be out there in person. But if you all would love to see me perform, you know, follow us, you know, on our site and be on the lookout for our next open mic.
That's
hopefully
great.
Soon.
Well, give us the web address, too, so if people want to check out not only this event we've just talked about, but also ones coming up in the future, how they can stay in touch.
Yes, you can go to our website, positivevibesonly.org, and you can follow us on all social media at AlwaysPVO on Twitter, AlwaysPVO on Instagram, and then Positive Vibes Only on Facebook.
That's great.
And we will come up, and we always post our upcoming events. We have the flyers posted, and we're just trying to navigate throughout all of this, because we want to get back in person and have, you know, live performances at our open mics again. So we plan to do one, hopefully sometime in the fall.
Let's hope so, too. RJ Griffith is a musician. He's a songwriter, and he's also the creator of the organization called Positive Vibes Only. They have their second annual Good Day drive-through this time because of the pandemic. Book bag giveaway is going to happen on Saturday, August 15th, beginning at 10 a.m., and it'll be at the parking lot of the East Chicago Church, which is, again, at 4423 Olcott Avenue in East Chicago. And as always, RJ, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we have conversations with Ed Feigenbaum with the Hannah News Service with an update on Indiana gaming issues. And a little later in the program tomorrow, Steve Coxhead with the Indiana Passenger Rail Alliance will join us with the latest concerning Amtrak's policy changes and the impact that those changes have on Northwest Indiana travel. We hope you can join us.